Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one. Welcome to you this morning as we come to worship. We are glad that you're here. We hope that the Lord will bless you as we worship Him and give thanks to Him. He is so good. He has blessed us in so wonderful ways, and He is good to us. Let us give Him thanks and praise through our worship today as we seek Him. Share with you a few verses from from Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and that we should. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb before the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers, as dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Amen. Let us worship this one who gave his life for us.
For hymn and worship this morning, we're going to use number 120, singing the first and second verse. Benny will have a prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful that you have allowed us and given us the joy of coming here once together as a church family. We want to say, first of all, Heavenly Father, thank you for providing for us and helping us through the past week. That Heavenly Father, you brought us, made it possible for us to be here once again. And so, Heavenly Father, we come giving you thanks for the daily provisions that you provided for us and helped us. And Heavenly Father, we come seeking your help in our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us and be with us as we go forth even this coming week, and help us to be good servants of the Lord, and help us, Heavenly Father, to honor you and wherever we go. And we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that you've loved us in such a great way. You give your son, one and only Son, to be our Savior, the one who never changes, one, Heavenly Father, who has went to such extremes to give his life for mankind. We're so thankful. We thank you, Jesus, for doing those things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray for guidance, protection, and provisions of this coming week through the hand of Jesus. We pray. We give you thanks for it. Amen.
For communion hymn, we use number 358, first and last verse.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there.
David threw his disciples and said, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of your sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth from this fruit of vine until the day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for another privilege you granted us together in your house on the Lord's day. We've come around thy table. We thank you now for the loaf, the cup. Represents a broken and bruised body that through him we can have life and ever and everlasting. Now go with us for the exercise of service. Feed each individual. They take of these emblems, place it on everything on in the world, and look to Jesus, their author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, just how grateful and thankful we are for another beautiful Lord's Day you provided for us. The time we come back into your house and worship you and lift you up in truth and spirit as we lift up those that are less fortunate than us, Father, we pray a blessing upon them and the people that has to get out and earn a living and know it all to you. Thank you for your help and your watch care over us. Give us all the faith and freedom that we could possibly have. Father, we thank you for all the blessings of life you give us. Opportunity to earn a living for our families and bring back a portion of that earnings back into your storehouse that we can spread it around this community and around the world. Be with Brother Benny as he brings the message this morning. Bless those that are here. And watch over us, keep us safe as we return back to our homes this afternoon. And Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us. So forgive us where we do fall short. For these things we do pray in your name. Amen. Amen.
Okay. First thing first, as we announced week or two ago, we have Sierra, our wonderful young lady, college lady here, is going to be graduating this coming Saturday at BB&T Auditorium down in, Crescent Springs? Anyhow, we have the directions back there if anybody desires to go and see her graduate. And so this morning, Sierra, if you'll come over here. This is from the people of the church, right? Okay. And, come on, step up there and smile. The people of the church, good people of the church, would like to give you this little gift upon your graduation. God bless you. May God use you greatly. Okay, I have several things here to share with you this morning. Okay, these are all. This afternoon, 3 o'clock. Let me first of all thank you folks for that. We're here Friday night. We had a great time, and folks got here early decorated the tree and everything and decorated the house. We appreciate that very much. We had a good Friday evening meal and fellowship together. We're so glad that you take part of that in that. We also celebrated Kim's birthday, and of course they had an anniversary last week, the day before her birthday, so that's a big week for them. And we have Frank and Aloma's birthday tomorrow. Too bad it wasn't today, we could sing double happy birthday to you. But anyhow, happy birthday to you anyhow. And that's tomorrow. Joanne's going to have one of the 26. She was almost a Christmas baby. One day late. Okay. So we wish you well, all of you there. And then this afternoon at 3 o'clock over Stamping Ground Christian Church for the Christian Christmas musical by His Majesty, a community choir will be taking place, and you're invited to be a part of that. And this coming Sunday, the choir is going to present the program of the hour. And then afterward, we will have our yearly holiday meal together. So we hope that all of you can be here and take part of that. It's always a great day and a great time when we can just worship together and have a meal together and special occasion. So those who are not here, be able to share with them and tell them that make sure that they'll be here next Lord's Day for the very special presentation of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ by the choir, and then an enjoyable meal with the folks here at Porter. So invite folks, your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones to come and encourage them to come and to enjoy that day also. Let's see. Okay, what else we have here? I have also some new folks we want to be considering on our prayer list. Isaac Schaub is Debbie's newborn grandson that we shared with you a week or two ago, and a very difficult, but he's doing better, I understand. So praise God for that, and things will work out. Vicki Miffen is Donna's friend who suffered a mild heart attack this week, and gosh, that we certainly in prayer for her. What a dreadful thing to happen, and especially at this time of the year, it's a bad time, but any time when that happens, so be in prayer for them. Chandler Link, that's Matthew Davis's friend, and Richard King, he is Sean's father-in-law, and I think we talked about him before, about his cancer, and now he's begins radiation therapy this week, and we pray that that all work well for him. And I think I shared with you, my brother was doing real well and so forth, doing good. But they was wanting to give him a little bit of radiation treatment because of the cancer he had on here a while back. But they delayed that because he didn't think he was strong enough to do that. He's kind of hoping that maybe that he won't have to take it at all after he gets strengthened back up. But he's doing good. And so we pray for those who are in therapies and those who are having operations, those who are getting treatments of various kinds, and Judy's son-in-law, they're trying to get things worked out to get him a place for rehab and such, if I understand, is that right? That he had that, he fell off the roof, we shared with that a couple weeks ago, and broke a lot of bones and so forth, I don't think that's the right word, strategic bones, or any bone is precious to you, but broke some bones that is very delicate and so forth. And so he's having some trouble with that. So let's pray that that'll work out, that he'll get the right place, right treatment for that, and things will go well for him. And so on our prayer list, we still have several. Doodle is not here with us this morning. He's been able to come the last and be with us in the church services. He was able to be here Friday night, him and Pauline both. But Doodle has come down with another virus, stomach virus, this morning and yesterday, and not able to be here. And then, of course, Pauline has difficulties, and some kind of arises immediately or just suddenly and changes her plans. But we see we got Vern back here. He's not been with us a couple of weeks. We're glad to see you, Vern, back. And it's doing good. Talking to Doodle the other night. I know when I was talking to you, you was going to another doctor and they was going to do something and work out and see what they could do for you. And so Doodle was telling me he was doing pretty good. So we're glad to hear that. So isn't it wonderful? God works, and God works in his people, and we're affected with a lot of things. We come in contact with a lot of things. But I'm so thankful we have, God has ordained hospitals and nurses and doctors and all those kind of things and that can help us and get us back going, get us going. And so the rest of you guys is looking good. Ron, he's really going good. So we're glad for that. And Duda was telling me the other night, you know, he was having pain. It took a little while with the pain in his hip there, but that pain that he's had for so long is gone. He has a little bit of pain, mild. I'll say mild pain from the surgical thing of it. So that will be gone, hopefully, in the next little bit. Wasn't it good to see Virgil back at the table this morning? We're glad to have you, Virgil. We're glad to see you're doing better. Virgil has some things coming up, though, some appointments and some decisions to be made and so forth. So we pray that, Virgil, that those will all work out for you and things will work out good for you. Who else have we got here? We've just got a lot of folks here.
Benny, Tammy Snyder's going to have surgery this week.
Okay,
she's already in Texas. And
okay, that... If you remember, that's Marge and Lynn's daughter, and she has had quite a time, and so hopefully that'll all work out for her. So all the folks on our prayer list will kind of keep abreast of what's going on and keep praying for their needs in whatever way it is. And our service people and the things that are taking place. And as we said during Thanksgiving time, we hope, you know, by it being a special day set aside to give thanks, that the thought would be thanking God. Now we have a special day here coming up, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very love that God demonstrated through his Son is coming up. We just hope that that will have some great effect on America, some great effect on America, on the people of America, that they will honor God and we will become that nation, that we can be an influence on other nations. So let's pray for good things that happen that way. Our service people, and of course, the Christmas time and away from home, the lonely time, keep you on in your prayers. So much to be thankful for, yet much to be praying about. And so I encourage you to pray and be concerned for one another, especially the church family, as we come to the Lord in prayer.
For prayer, I'm going to use number 118, first and last verse, and Robert will have a prayer. This whole thing.
It came above the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, good will to me, from heaven's a gracious King. The world in the hall of stillness light, to hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, my prophet seen of old. Then with the ever-flaming years shall come the time foretold, when a new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace again.
The invitation hymn be number 353. Now the choir will bring us special.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's back is sleeping? The angels greet with hands of sweet. Share.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. We're looking forward to next week to your presentation by the choir. It's always a blessing, and we look forward to that. I have, as you notice in your bulletin, just taken a verse from Isaiah 9 and 6, and it reads like this: "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's the gift that God has given to mankind. And I thought, you know, here we are at the Christmas season, and probably upon your minds, the biggest part of the people has on their minds, is giving gifts one to another. It's usually, and I think for a lot of the families, it's usually the tradition at Thanksgiving time that you draw names of one another, who's going to give the other one a Christmas present then. And I don't know about you, but I have seen times past that our daughters just kind of snuck around and wanted to trade names. But even our grandchildren, we've seen them do that, want to trade names. So they've got in mind some special thing that they want to get for certain ones. So they want to try to get that name after they draw. And so great time and so forth, and celebrating. And the gifts that we get and receive and give ought to remind us of the greatest gift that God has given to mankind. And that is his son, Jesus, the salvation that we have through him. Some years ago, you know, and sometimes I think people want to swap around and get a certain name is because they have some kind of a gag gift they might want to get them, you know. And I remember some years ago, many, many years ago, Maxine and I were dating, and I came then over to be with them the weekend, Christmas weekend, at their house, and as they were giving out presents, you know, they give me this big box and all wrapped up, and I thought, boy, what's this? You know, I wasn't expecting anything, and she had four brothers that they were always out for a good laugh, and I should have expected something, suspicioned something, but I didn't. I just had my thought was, wow, they've given me a gift, and it's in this great big box. And as I began to unwrap that and so forth, I noticed her brothers, they were really paying close attention to me. And it had just been a couple of weeks ago that by 1941, Mercury Club Coupe had broken down. They had engine trouble. And so as I never thought about that whatsoever, and I was unwrapping, when I got it unwrapped, well, you know what it was? It was an old rusty piston. They had given me a car part, all right. They was always in for a good laugh, so a lot of gag laughs. But the gift that God gave us is a sure thing. It's no gag gift, I'll grant you that. So I want to share with you this morning a few thoughts about this greatest gift that God has given to mankind. Sometimes, you know, we get gifts that we don't expect, and sometimes we get the things that we do expect. I know sometimes my daughters have come to me before and said, Daddy, what would you like to have for Christmas? Well, I don't know, you know, and so, but I just wonder, you know, the people of old were expecting something. Were they expecting the gift that they got, or were they expecting something else? I think they were expecting something else. I don't really think they were expecting the wonderful gift that they got, because in my mind and reading the scriptures, they were expecting a king to come and sit on the throne of David and just put down all the Roman army and everything and give them an easy way. But that wasn't what it was. It was sending them a son that would save them from their sins. Some 100 years ago, this prophecy that I just read to you from Isaiah 9 is given, and it is fulfilled in John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." So that's the gift that he's talking about, that Isaiah is talking about. Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this was God's love gift to mankind. And James talks about that in James 1 and 17, and he talks about every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, Almighty God. And so we recognize this. 2 Corinthians 9:18, the Apostle Paul says, "Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift," he says. God the Father was the one to give the first Christmas gift. And he gave the greatest gift of all to mankind. So I want to share some thoughts about that. First of all, about this gift. God's great gift to mankind is not is an unsolicited gift. As I mentioned before, my daughters would come and ask me from time to time what they could get or what I wanted. And sometimes you do get gifts that you have solicited, so you have made known what you want. But this gift that God gave us was not solicited by us. As a matter of fact, when Adam and Eve sinned, it wasn't Adam that went to God and said, I need help. God help me. It was God who foresaw the need of Adam and Eve and came looking for them. And we know the story how that when Adam and Eve realized they had sinned, what did they do? They went away from God. They hid from God, tried to hide from God. It wasn't Adam who saw his need. It wasn't Adam who saw his need and went searching for God. It was God who came searching for him. And it reminds me of what is said here in Luke 19:10, when Jesus says of himself, he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This great gift that God gave to us was his Son, and he came seeking. We didn't solicit it. And he came giving him his all for you and for me. Salvation certainly is not an afterthought. We hear some people, critics of God, atheists especially, will say things of that nature. And they talk about God making a mistake. It was no mistake at all. The salvation that God offers to man, this gift that was coming to mankind, it's not an afterthought. The Bible is talks concerning Jesus here in Revelation 13:8. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. What does this mean? That means that Jesus, this gift of God gave us, was in the beginning. He was in the decision making of coming and going to the cross, dying for mankind. Isn't it wonderful to know that this Christmas season, that the greatest gift ever given to man was unsolicited? We didn't ask for it. In fact, Romans 5:8 says, while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it was an unsolicited gift. And secondly, I say this morning to you that God's gift was to man is not an unlimited gift. Maxine and I, some years ago, We wanted to get some new carpet for a couple of rooms in our house. So we went down to the carpet shop there in Northern Kentucky. And we were looking at what was on display there. And this salesman came up and he asked us if he could help us. And we said, yeah, we were looking for some carpet for a couple of rooms of our house. He says, you can't afford that. Now, we were dressed fairly decent. We didn't have jeans with holes in it like a lot of people runs around with now, all ripped apart, and old dirty t-shirts. We were dressed pretty decent. He looked at us and said, we couldn't afford that. Well, we said, okay, we left. We left. And true, they are department stores where only wealthy people can shop. What is that? The Hilton and all those places have got these big, and only wealthy people can shop there. Their merchandise is too expensive for the average person. They are the poor families that even you will look around and see for yourself this year. You will be given gifts, but there will be poorer people than you that cannot enjoy the gifts that you have. So, yay. But God's Christmas gift can be had by everyone. Regardless of his race or wealth, God's gift is for the entire world. In fact, I share some scripture with you that verifies that. John 3:15, and John was speaking of Jesus. And he said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Of course, that's just below John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And John 11:26, he records, and this is with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus' sister, and Jesus is talking to her, and she is concerned about death and life and such, and he says this, "And whosoever," if you will notice in these verses, we will find that word, "whosoever," and he says, "whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." John 12:46, Jesus said, speaking of himself, he said, "I am come, the light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness." And folks, you who have difficulties and are people that you know have difficulties, all they need to do is come to the light and their darkness will be faded away. Jesus is the light that cometh to the world, and whosoever believeth in him shall not dwell in darkness. Jesus is the gift for the entire world. The scriptures teach us very plainly that he is the gift that God has given to the entire world. No matter how poor you are, no matter how rich you are, how learned, how unlearned you are, red, yellow, black, or white, it doesn't make any difference of your race. You are eligible for this great gift that God has for mankind. You are not excluded from that. You know, as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing our sins, and repenting of them, and surrender our lives to Him, to the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 2:9 plainly states, and he's speaking of Jesus, "By the grace of God should taste death for every man," every person, everyone. I have very little patience with those who teach limited atonement. The Bible does not teach that at all. Some say that the salvation is just, Jesus died just for a select few. That is not so. That is just a saying from Satan right out of his hellish home there. It is not in God's great Bible. The Bible teaches us that he died for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who acknowledges him as Lord. He is your Savior. It makes no difference, again I say, no matter whether you're educated, uneducated, no matter how wealthy you are, poor, no matter how privileged or unprivileged you are, no matter how unloved you are, how loved you are, God gave this gift and you can receive it. No one will go to hell and look back at heaven and say, "Jesus didn't die for me." Because this gift is available to everyone and all. And not one is excluded. The only ones excluded from God's greatest gift is him or her who will exclude themselves by rejecting Jesus. He or she has to reject, or they are eligible for Jesus, for the great gift of God. So again, doesn't matter how rich, poor, whatever your state is, you are eligible for this great gift. In the last great invitation that Jesus gave, this is in the book of Revelation, he opened the door so wide. Revelation 22:17, he says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." He's speaking of the great gift that God had given to mankind. Right there. And thirdly, this morning I say, you know, that the greatest gift of God was an unexpected gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15, the Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift." You remember, Doodle's not here. Peggy, don't you tell him I said this. But you remember here about a month ago that Doodle gave me the present from you from the church family of the computer, and I really am used to that. I appreciate that so very much. But he gave that to me, and that night in our Bible study, I don't know what we was talking about just then, but something come up that I didn't deserve it. And I better hold that till later. Just set that aside. The unspeakable gift, because that fits better later. When we talk about the unspeakable gift here, and Paul talks about it, thanks God for the unspeakable gift, you know, we got to remember, folks, that, you know, God only gives, he never gives anything but the best. And James said, and I already quoted James in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, comes down from the Father of lights. He is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And every, you know, we've had poets, we have songwriters, and they have tried to describe with words the glorious gift that God has given. And Paul says it's unspeakable. And they have tried to describe it with all the words they could find. Sermon after sermon has been given by the greatest of preachers, and they have not been able to describe. But, you know, for all of what they say and all they've written, all we sing about, I can only say this with the queen that came and spoke about Solomon. Only the half has been told. Only the half has been told. Jesus, God's greatest gift to mankind, is amazing, astonishing, astounding, indescribable, inconceivable, remarkable, unthinkable, unbelievable. He is beyond telling. He is indescribable. He is inexpressible. God's greatest gift to mankind is just exactly what Paul says, unspeakable. Amen. And the fourth one that I say to you, this, share with you this morning, that God's greatest gift to man is an unchangeable gift. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything changes. Times change. Styles change. Everything but the minister. But he never changes. Books change. History change. Attitude change. Taste change. But my dear friends, Jesus Christ, the God's greatest gift to mankind, never changes. There can be no moral change in Jesus. If he got better, it would mean that he was never perfect. If he got worse, it would mean that he was no longer perfect. But here's a line I'd like for you to really get. All that Jesus is, he has always been. And all that he's been and he is will ever be. And when I wrote that down, let me read that to you again. All that Jesus is, he has always been. And all that he has been and he is, he will ever be. He is unchangeable. Many of the Christmas gifts that you get are obsolete within just a little few days. I'd forgotten about it the other day at Thanksgiving Day, and Kay had gotten me a couple of things Christmas time, and I happened to catch by ear, they were talking about these Christmas gifts. And my daughter Kay asked Maxine, they were sitting at the table there, asked Maxine if I had been using this gift and so forth. And Maxine said, I don't know. She said, matter of fact, I haven't seen it. And she said, you know, it's probably still behind the chair in the living room. And Kay went in there, and I was so embarrassed, you know. And here she comes carrying those two Christmas gifts out that I'd got last Christmas. And they've been sitting behind that chair there all that time. Well, they were probably usable. I just hadn't used them, you know. But a lot of the gifts you get, they just are obsolete in no time. So I didn't know whether those were obsolete or not obsolete. I just hadn't used them. And I had to tell her, you know, I've got gifts, and you probably have too, some of you fellas. I've got gifts in my closet that's not been opened. Well, some of them have been opened, and they've not been used. And I got a couple of gifts in the basement. And one of them, I didn't tell Kay, but one of them is one of them that she gave me. It's been unwrapped, but it's never been used. You know, some things you can't use. Some things come obsolete. And they do that, you know. They change. But not Jesus. He's current every day. What did the Hebrew writer say? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always current. He's always current. He never changes. He's the same day in and day out. Jesus just the same today to those who trust him as he was in the day of those trusted him of old. He's the same. Never change. And then fifthly, let me share with you quickly this. God's greatest gift to man is an undeserved gift. That gets me back to doodle. Got the nice, real nice computer from you folks, and boy, I enjoy it and so forth. But that evening, somehow or another, something came up in our Bible study about not being deservable. And I said, yeah, I said, I got a most wonderful gift today, and I didn't deserve it. And doodle give a hearty double amen to that. Oh, and I thought, man, if you just do that when I'm preaching. You know, but we get gifts we don't deserve. But really, when we talk about the wonderful gift of salvation that we freely receive from God through Christ Jesus, there's not a person in this auditorium that deserves it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve this gift. Everything we get comes from one of three ways. We either earn it, or we steal it, or somebody gives it to us. Think about it. Everything you have comes in one of those three ways. Heaven is too costly for us to buy. If we worked a million lifetimes, we would never earn enough to buy our place in heaven. If we took all the crooked politicians' millions and billions and put them all together, they couldn't buy a palace in heaven. If we can't earn our place in heaven and we can't steal a place in heaven, then it comes down to only one thing, does it? Someone must give us that place in heaven. And that's exactly what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birthday we will be celebrating here soon. God has given us the gift of salvation that we can have, as some of you folks have sang those songs, you know, all I want is a mansion over the hill. Yeah. Jesus talks about those mansions in my Father's house. The only way, regardless how rich you are or poor, the only way that we'll ever get it is accepting the gift that God has through Jesus Christ who is Lord. Heaven has to be received through the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot earn it, we cannot steal it, we cannot only but receive it as a gift from God. His Son, Jesus Christ, one day he's going to come and he's going to escort everyone who has received that gift. He's going to escort them right into the throne room of God. That could be very soon. Now, lastly and quickly, let me say this. God's greatest gift to man, I'll give you a minute to put a word in there. You know what we've said about him, five things. God's greatest gift to man has gone unclaimed. Think about that. A gift is something that is offered. It is unearned. It is undeserved. Yet a gift is never a gift until it's received. I remember going, first year I was here, and I forget the guy's name now, was the evangelist, and we were out calling, and we were calling and talking to this one person, and I just happened to have, and don't have them too regular, had a $50 bill. And I'd stuck it in my Bible for just to use that day. And we were calling on this one fellow, and he was talking about, you know, you have to receive God's gift. I said, do you understand what we're saying? That it's free and it's a gift, and you have to take it to receive it. And he just sat there a minute. And so then I took my Bible out and I opened it up, and there was that $50 bill. And I said, you know, if I was to give you that $50 bill as a gift, you know what you would have to do? He said, know what? I said, you would have to take this Bible, because it's in that Bible. And I said, to you today, I want to share with you, if you want salvation, if you want the glories of heaven, you got to take what's in that Bible. Years passed and the man died. He didn't claim the gift of God. He would have readily claimed that $50 bill, but he didn't want to claim that Bible. He let God's precious gift go unclaimed. And I say to you today, as we close, Christ tasted death for every one, every man. And yet every man has yet to trust Christ for salvation. I hope you realize that here in this Porta area, there are many people who Jesus is still a stranger to. Jesus is a stranger to them. America has millions upon millions across this great nation who have not come to know or has rejected God's greatest gift to mankind. Today, there are people rushing through the department stores right now. Go to Lexington, go down to Florence. Any department store there's people just rushing here and there. They're seeking to buy a gift for a loved one. And they have refused, they have rejected to receive the gift from the one who loves them. May I ask you this morning, have you received the greatest gift that God has for mankind? Have you received the greatest gift that God has given to mankind? If not, I encourage you to believe. Trust Jesus for salvation. Repent of your sins. Reject Him no more. Commit your life to living for Jesus. Him who gave His life for you. I'm going to stand and sing the first verse only of our invitation hymn. Stand with me, please. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. It's just a great day to see people who love the Lord and are there to seek Him and to praise Him and honor Him. Thank you for being here and doing that. Might He bless you richly this week as you go forth. Might you share with those who are seeking gifts for those who love those loved ones. Share with them the greatest gift that comes for the one who really loves them. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the good people gathered here in the name of Christ. Thank You for the love they have for You and Your Son and for one another. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask now that You would bless them as we leave here, that You would give them a safe week, give them a prosperous week, and help them, Heavenly Father, as they consider and think about the gifts that has been given all across the nation this holiday season. That, Heavenly Father, the greatest gift that God ever gave to man was Jesus Christ, His Son. Help us to share Him with those who do not know Him, those who have rejected Him. Help us to share that in a way that they might come to know Him as Lord and Savior this Christmas time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.